This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening. This is Talking Devils, the leading independent Manchester United podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barton, joined by two former Manchester United players to talk over a mixed week at the club. First of all, joined by Phil Marsh. How are you doing, Phil? You all right?
Hi, Wayne. Yeah, all good, mate. All good, thanks. Had a busy schedule this week in work, so been a bit hectic. But yeah, everything's good. Obviously, good result the other night against Chelsea, which was a sort of nice way to finish the week. And yeah, I think obviously, you know, we'll get into the podcast and have a chat about the next couple of games. But, you know, that game's given me a little bit more optimism. I thought, you know, it was all doom and gloom. You know, that point, I thought if we can't beat Chelsea, then we really are struggling because they was bad the other day. It probably should have been more goals from both sides, really. But yeah, just happy to get over the line.
Yeah. Lee, how are you doing? Oh, sorry, I forgot to say Lee. To the listeners, obviously it's Lee Lawrence, a former United defender. How are you doing, Lee? You're good?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Bit of a mad time of year for me with, obviously, as you well know, I run my own central heating company, so trying to get everything sorted a couple of weeks before Christmas, it's a horrendous time for work. But apart from that, mate, yeah, like Phil said, we'll get into the podcast in a bit, but maybe a little bit of optimism in a bleak season so far. So it definitely brightened my day up the other day. And I'm sure we'll talk more in depth about it as we go on.
Yeah, we will. You guys will be very heartened to know that, you know, yeah, it might well be optimistic, but I'm going to be here to strike a dagger in the hearts towards the end. So to bring the mood right down, I've got a couple of conversation points. Unfortunately, but yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about Newcastle. We talked about that on Monday's podcast with Paul. We talk about Chelsea, United 1-2-1. Dave, who usually does the Monday podcast, he put out, I think it was on his Facebook actually, he said, it's the only game I've seen ever which either side could have won 4-1 and the other side couldn't have complained. I think United might have had a few more grumbles because they had 18 shots in the first half. I think they ended with 28 in the end. Ridiculous amount of shots and good opportunities in the first half as well. McTominay scored to make it 1-0 and then they equalised, obviously. And you just thought that's United. Just they let them off the hook and you worried about what was going to happen in the second half. McTominay had that chance to score a second goal twice. The header and then the follow-up shot. And then there were other shots as well, other chances. Ireland had one dragged across. He's still looking for his first Premier League goal. A few others as well. And generally, though, the reaction to the Newcastle game was visible in the fact that you dropped Rashford, you dropped Martial, and then you've seen this increase in endeavour, really, and energy throughout the team. And, you know, I don't like saying that because I think I'm one of Marcus's biggest fans, but obviously the drop-off this season has been quite pronounced and there's no hiding place in that Newcastle performance. But, I mean, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. We'll talk about Chelsea and the response from that. You know, obviously Garnacho's in from the start, Højlund was in from the start, and Antony started, and one of Antony's best, I don't say Antony was particularly brilliant, but he's definitely his best performance of the season. And United needed that. They needed that kind of energetic press from the front six players. And they got it. probably Amrabat's best game for us as well, and a good time to get it. Phil, I'll come to you first. Obviously, then we score in the second half. Garnacho with the cross. McTominay heads it in. And then I think McTominay had a chance straight after to make it a hat trick. But I mean, he's come up a clutch player this season. That's twice he scored two goals in wins. I think that he's at 6 or 7 for the season already. A really, really strong start to the season. And I guess he could talk about McTominay on his own. So I'll leave that for a little bit later. But in terms of the performance and the win, what did you make of what we saw the other night?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, really, Wayne, with the sort of comparison to the Newcastle game. Obviously, we don't want to talk about that too much, but I just think the energy level and the effort and just sort of the overall sort of way they went about the game was miles better. Although the quality was still a little bit, you know, not where it needs to be from both sides, really. I think we're obviously two teams this season that are both visibly struggling with that little bit of quality, especially in the final third. Having that cutting edge and just being able to sort of consistently create good opportunities and put them in the back of the net is a massive sort of issue, really, for both teams. But as you say, I think a lot better with getting Luke Shaw back into the left side of the back four. Looked a lot more balanced. As you said, I think Amrabat had a better game, although I think he still can probably do a little bit more and we've probably not seen the best of him yet. But as you say, just the pressing at the front, I think we made Chelsea make so many mistakes, just not through, you know, really good play or anything. It was just from, you know, getting in the faces and putting people under pressure. I think I counted, you know, at one point the goalkeeper for Chelsea had made like 3 or 4 really poor kicks. And that was down to, you know, us putting pressure on him and not having options available. We were still trying to play out. So sometimes, you know, just by working hard and sort of putting that, you know, back four of the opposition under pressure, you can you know, create chances and opportunities from that, which is what we've not done enough of this season. And I think that's, you know, been visible for many, many people to see in previous weeks and games, that, you know, certain players and the body language and the effort and the work rate just hasn't been there. And I think the other night was a massive game in terms of, you know, just giving the fans confidence that we can see the team put in a shift, put in a performance. As I said, you know, we can play a lot better. The sort of quality of some of the play wasn't quite there. And, you know, there was a lot of misplaced passes and bad decision-making and some poor finishing at times. But I think overall, you know, you come away from that game and you look at it and you think, you know, we've worked our socks off. You know, we've won the game. Yeah, we could probably improve in a lot of areas, but it's a good foundation now to kick on and sort of move forward with these next few games that are obviously going to be a bit of a defining moment, really, for me, with not just the season. I think obviously for the manager, he's been under a lot of pressure. I think these next three games now, if you can come out of these with, you know, maybe, you know, 4 points in the league and get a result against Bayern, then again the season sort of looks a little bit more rosy from where it has been.
Very strong winner. Good points made there. Obviously, we're going to talk about Bournemouth and Bayern and Liverpool as we move on. Lee, United needed that on the other night, didn't they? And Ten Hag needed it as well, that kind of performance.
Can you hear me, mate?
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. It's just come on that photo on mute then. Sorry about that, mate. Matt, I agree with more or less everything Phil just said then. The key thing playing like we was the other day compared to how we have been playing, and I've wrote it down here, is we attack with pace and purpose, which we've not seen to do for a hell of a long time. It's not hard just to work hard without running the risk of keep going over the same thing on the podcast. You know, you can forgive poor performances, you can people, you know, go through a lack of confidence and a lack of form. You can't forgive a lack of effort. The main thing for me was he put a starting 11 out, what, you know, really dug in, pressed, like Phil said, pressed from the start, closed down well, worked hard on and off the ball, and you know, it's not hard to do, and it's all about keeping the fans on side. As long as you can keep the fans on side, if you're going through a poor spell, bear in mind our poor spell, we're still joint fifth in the league. I don't know how. Well, I mean, we're sick, but we're joint fifth on points with Tottenham. We're supposed to be having one of the best seasons they've ever had. We were above Newcastle. We're 3 points off City. And look at what we've been doing all season. You know, it's so even though we're playing really poorly, we're still grinding results out. Obviously, it shows that in the league table where we are. The only thing I'm not sure with Phil when he said I think we could do better. I don't think personally with what I've seen this season with the team what we put out and the team what we've got available to us that we can do much better. If I'm being honest, as in quality wise, I don't think that we've got the quality and what we've got available for us at the moment to put in a much better performance than we did do against Chelsea. And like I say, it was just an absolute crazy game. Could have been 4-5-1 either way. But with the all we can ask for is what they did. Try the best, run hard on and off the ball and try and get a result. And that's what we did. And, you know, at the end of it, I was pleased with how we did and how we performed.
Yeah, what do you make of McTominay then? Because this is a player who, you know, he's been much maligned over, you know, a long period of time. And, you know, even at points last season, Ten Hag tried him in defensive midfield. And I think he quickly discovered that it's not the best area for Scott to play in, not his best skill set. He isn't really fit to play there. Ollie trusted him there, but he's obviously... He's, things about his positional discipline, and you know that we saw against Newcastle really that I won't say cost us, but he gets dragged to the ball when other players aren't doing their job, and that can cost us. But obviously, there are things about him that, yeah, maybe he's not the most skillful, maybe he's not the most talented in the natural sense of the word, but him staying at the club in the summer has probably resulted as, you know, is getting maybe another 8 or 9 points that we wouldn't have had, thanks to not just the goals, but his endeavour really and his desire to get on the end of those crosses and, you know, getting those kind of situations, his desperation to win games for Manchester United. And Lee, you know, it seems like an obvious point, but it's something that is sometimes lost because some people will say it's a gimmick, right? They'll say, oh, United's like youth team kind of thing. But that McTominay's difference this season, the things that McTominay's brought in a positive way has probably been that manifestation of what that United youth spirit is all about, isn't it? That's what you've seen on the pitch with him.
Yeah, exactly, mate. You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say he grew up at the club. He's got the right attitude. He's had the best coaches, you know. He probably had the same coaches me and Phil had, or a lot of the same coaches we had. He'd had the same thing drummed into him week in, week out about the club. But what it means to wear the shirt and represent the badge. So even if he's not, you know, more skillful, which let's be honest, we all know he's not our best player in the world. We all know he's not technically as good as other players that we've got, but he will always give you that effort and he'll always give you that determination. For me, at the minute, he's undroppable. And I'm not saying that as a fact that I think he's good enough to take us on and to win a Premier League or anything along that line, because I don't think he is. But as an attitude-wise and as a someone who'll give you 100% every time he's on the pitch, even if he's having a bad game, he's not going to throw a strop. He's not going to, you know, put his hands up and look at other people and try and blame other people. And you know, give me 11 players like that every game as opposed to, and I don't want to call Marcus Rashford because, again, he's one of our own. He's in bad form again, you know, but his attitude seems to be slipping. For me, Martial is why we're still messing around with Martial. I don't know. But you could give me 11 people like McTominay with that attitude on the pitch every day, then apparently these world-class players who just don't seem like they want to put a shift in. They don't want to play for the club. They don't want to work out for themselves and the teammates. So, yeah, for me at the minute, McTominay is undroppable. You've got to play him, especially, like, again, with what we've got. I think he's doing a great job there. If it wasn't for him, like I say, we're 7-8 goals down, probably results down. And it's been a great turnaround because I'm sure, like many, I was probably thinking it would have been better for him to move on last summer. And again, another shout to Maguire. Very, very similar thoughts from Maguire. Don't think he's good enough for what we need going forward. But fair play to the guys that the captaincy took off him. It looked like everyone wanted him out of the club, behind the scenes and the fans and everything, but he's pulled his socks up, he's worked hard, he's never moaned. and again, he's been one of our better players, and won. I think he's won the Premier League Player of the Month, hasn't he? Absolute fantastic attitude to our fantastic mate. So you've got to give them two massive props for what they've done. And like I say, hopefully we've got Shaw back now. And Phil mentioned it a little bit earlier. He'll definitely strengthen that back four up and helping attack down the left hand side. So when we get Martinez back, we've got Shaw back. Amrabat looked like he was coming on a little bit the other day. Looked like the player we've seen at the World Cup. Garnaccio, although he's still raw, when I watched him the other day against Chelsea, he's still raw. But he worked hard. He got the ball. He created chances. He set up a goal. He made things happen. We could hopefully, if we get these players back and we start gelling, we could hopefully have a decent second half of the season.
Yeah, I hope so. A couple of comments in here. Dan says, evening, chaps, and Dave. Evening, Dan. Hope you're all right. Nice to see you from 40, 50, 60 yards distance the other night. Hope to see you tomorrow, hopefully. And Dave Vaux says, Luke Shaw will be essential to our season going forward. No surprise that Garnaccio's game has gone up a level since Shaw's come back. Keita left us idea. The balance is obviously crucial. Reguilón was all right when he came on the other night as well. Phil, a note on McTominay. I guess me and Lee have stolen all the good buzz phrases, but what do you make of McTominay's contribution of late?
No, I think he's been brilliant this year. I think, playing him in that little bit more of an advanced role has definitely suited him, and I think we've definitely seen the best of him. Obviously, gets into the box and sort of is a decent finisher. He's shown that for Scotland as well. So, yeah, I think, with the sort of grounding that he's had, and obviously he's came through the academy, as Lee said, he knows exactly what it is to play for the club, and he has got the right attitude. And I think, as Lee said, at the minute, he is maybe undroppable just purely based on the way that he is as a player, in terms of his attitude, his work rate, the way he sort of expresses himself on the pitch. And he's leading by example for me at the moment with just his all-round game, which is surprising when you look at how many sort of, experienced players that we have got in the team that were sort of sat here looking at Scott McTominay as the sort of, person who's sort of leading by example and sort of, setting the standard, if you like. So, fair play to him, and hopefully he can continue with, his goal scoring form, because as we've said, without him this season, you take away them goals and that's, probably us sort of sitting in the bottom half of the table. So yeah, fingers crossed he can keep putting in the performances, and as we've said, I think, once we get some more of these players back who have been missing, who are pivotal in the way that we want to play and sort of the way, the foundation of the back four is, we'll hopefully start seeing the best of, some of these other players as well, which isn't an excuse, but I do think, the injuries have sort of had a big part to play in some of the, performances and sort of, some of the results maybe.
What do you reckon for Bournemouth tomorrow then? Because, I mean, Bournemouth have actually probably been in better form than what most people would give them credit for. You'd expect them to be really struggling, like Sheffield United have been. But they've, they've been decent, putting a good fist of it. And I'm expecting a probably more difficult game tomorrow than what I did the other night, really. I expect Bournemouth to be stiffer opposition. What do you reckon, Phil?
Yeah, I think obviously Bournemouth, last couple of weeks, they've definitely sort of... improved and picked up some really good results. You look at the results that they've won in the last couple of games. Two, I think it was Tottenham the other week, who obviously have been playing well this year. So they're going to be coming to Old Trafford with a lot of confidence. They've not really got anything to lose. They're going to be the underdogs, but as you say, they're starting to find a little bit of form. I think for us, we've obviously come off the back of a good result and we're still sort of trying to find our maybe best 11 and trying to get everyone back into the team that needs to be sort of playing where we're playing with confidence and stuff. So, again, it's going to be a really tough game in that respect. But, we've got to go into that with the belief now that we're on the start of a run. We're playing a lot better. The energy levels just have to be there. I think if we can match them on energy from the first minute to the last minute, 1 to 11, we should have better quality and the sort of, you know, more possession to win that game of football. But again, it comes down to, can we replicate the performance again in terms of the basics, the work rate, the energy, you know, win your individual battles. I think that's where we're at this moment in time. We're not at a level where we can just turn up and, you know, expect to beat someone like Bournemouth at home, because we've seen it time and time again this year. You know, if you're not on your game and you turn up with the attitude thinking that, you know, you just have to turn up and the game of football takes care of itself, that's far from the case. And you know, we've seen loads of upsets this year. And as I say, every game in the Premier League is a massive ask, a massive game. But I am confident now that we've sort of turned a little bit of a corner. I think the manager was brilliant the other night in dropping Rashford and Martial. It was a big decision, bold decision, but it had to be done. You know, it had to be made after the Newcastle performances were just totally unacceptable. And hopefully now these lads that have come in, you know, can keep the shirt and keep that momentum going into the next couple of games. Because as I say, these next three games now are going to be a really pivotal part of the season in terms of, you know, where we are just before Christmas in the Premier League. And obviously we are going to need a result, obviously, against Bayern to progress. And hopefully, you know, the other result goes our way. But yeah, I'm quietly confident. I think we've sort of, you know, with the players we've got available at this moment in time, we're sort of looking okay. And as we say, when some other players come back, the sort of second half of the season will hopefully be a lot more consistent and a lot better than we've shown this first half of the season.
Yeah. Good points there, Phil. We'll come to you, Lee Ballis. I've just seen a lot of frustrated hate for Ange Ball in the comments from Dan and Dave there. I have a lot of sympathy for Spurs. I'd say a lot of sympathy. Do you know, they're getting a lot of criticism at the moment. You know, it's the same kind of thing that we were going through. Well, we're still going through it with the injury crisis and everything like that. I think he's done a good job down there so far, and I like the sort of standards that he's setting. We'll see how it turns out. But I mean, the point is they face nowhere near the same kind of criticism as what United have done. You know, you're not seeing Ange getting ready to get sacked. And Ten Hag still got more credit in the bank than him, because he at least won a trophy and got into the Champions League. Lee, I guess, though, that's the kind of point, isn't it? I mean, United in this position, it's not about Chelsea in a way, because Chelsea takes care of itself. You know, they're going to come to Old Trafford. Some of the players will be looking at it thinking they're in a bit of disarray. There's an opportunity to get a good result there. And they were definitely turned on for that game because they had all those chances. And, you know, they did everything that we want to see from a Ten Hag team. That was a quintessential Ten Hag performance, if you like. You want to see his teams play like that. But it's not about just turning it on against Chelsea. You've got to turn it on against Bournemouth. And this isn't a game-by-game Chelsea against Bournemouth kind of thing. This is a cultural... This is part of that cultural reset, isn't it, United? And so it's not Bournemouth. It's the bigger picture, really. And that's what a lot of us are going to be looking to see tomorrow, is are we going to get that same kind of performance? I'm not far off with the way that I'm looking at that, am I?
No, not at all, mate. I'm banking on Ten Hag staying brave and literally picking the same side. Obviously, apart from Lindelof, because I believe Lindelof's took a knock, hasn't he? But the fundamental of what he did, I would play all them lads again. They've obviously got the confidence now of the performance and the win against Chelsea. So I would 100% put as many of them starting lads on as I could. You started the other day. Maybe put Shaw in for Lindelof and put Reguilón at left back, or I believe Varane's back fit again. Whether it has been a fitness issue or something, what, you know, we're unaware of, I'm not sure. But apart from that, I would definitely keep the same starting 11. Tell them to do exactly the same thing as they did. Don't be scared. Go for it. Play with pride, play with pace, play with passion, and let's get that mentality back that Man United should have. I think if we do that, we won't go far wrong, to be honest, against Bournemouth.
Yeah. We'll talk about Bayern then. United have, I don't know, how would you describe what they've done with their Champions League group so far? It's been a right royal mess. 9 goals scored in away games. I was looking the other day at like how many times they've scored 9 goals in Champions League groups away. I know they did it in the treble. Scored like five or six at Bromby, wasn't it? And then two at Bayern and 9 and 3 at Barca, so they definitely went above 9. Even David Moyes' one, I know they scored 5 in one game against Leverkusen, and I can't the other teams don't chip off my tongue very easily. But you know, it's not a common thing to score 9 goals in the away games in the Champions League. United managed it; they managed to lose 2 of them in the last minute, and then the other one, they just threw away the game like right near the end, the Galatasaray one, which was crazy. And it's left them in a situation which is nowhere near in their hands. So they can win and not even go through if one of the other teams, if Galatasaray or Copenhagen win the other game, which you'd probably expect that someone is going to do that. You've got to prepare for it. So United, in one respect, looking down the barrel of a Europa League campaign again, if they get a decent result against Bayern. But that's still presuming that, Lee. I think it's such a crazy thing. She would talk about the league and where United are in the league, and I think that's probably representative of a poor league. And even in the Champions League, when we were at Bayern, you're just thinking, if we had a couple of those players back, like if they were fit and they were ready to play in this game, we don't look a million miles away from them. I don't know if that's like United lulling you in there, or if it's like this thing we've talked about on the podcast before where they always seem to play to the level of the opposition. But they didn't look a million miles away from Bayern. But then you see them against Copenhagen away, and you see them against Galatasaray away, the way that we defended in particular, and you think they're not even good enough to win the Europa League. What conclusions have you drawn from this Champions League campaign, and what do you reckon is going to happen against Bayern?
I've drawn no conclusions, mate, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, because it's the United this season, whether it's been in the Premier League or in particular in the Champions League, it blows my mind. You know, before they got the man sent off against Copenhagen, we was comfortable. We've looked comfortable in quite a lot of the matches, if I'm being honest. But we're really, really, really good at messing a lead up and giving away goals. And the discipline has been way off, especially in the Champions League, way, way off. For my liking, and like I say, I don't even think it's been a lack of quality. I think it's been more a lack of discipline, and maybe a lack of belief that, you know, we can take the lead and keep hold of the lead. That comes out to two things. Again, could it be an attitude thing? Could it be the managers getting things wrong within that group of games that we've had, and the choices and the formations? I'm not sure. Have we not put the lads out to secure a win? It's just, I can't draw any conclusions for it, because it's just been absolutely mental. It's been a mental season, an absolute mental season in both the Premier League and the Champions League. You know, as it stands, we could play Bayern and we could turn them over and we could qualify, which again is mental to think of with the results we've had and where we lie in the table. Conclusion-wise, mate, I can't draw a conclusion on it. I don't know if it's going to go against Bayern. I don't think that we'll get a result. I don't think we'll qualify. I don't know if I really want to qualify for the Europa League. I'm not sure if I want that this season or not. Or would it be better to concentrate on the Premier League more? It's just one of them. But as for the Champions League, the only thing I can say is I don't think we've been as poor as the results have made out.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Phil, like Lee said, I was a little bit unfair to Lee, asking him to give me a conclusion.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To that, to the 5 games that we've seen in the Champions League, like, what do you think? When really it's like Dan said in the comments, it's a series of unfortunate events. Psychologists will be studying that Champions League five games for years. See what, like, you know, like the mentality of throwing away the goals, like the leads that we've had, and the coming back into games only to throw the position away. And it really, all that points to is a team, a squad that's getting to know each other, and they don't have the experience of playing at that level. That's what that is. That's what you're seeing on the pitch, that they just don't have the experience to deal with that sort of thing. It is all about experience of A, playing together, and B, playing together at that level. That said, it still presents a situation where we could qualify on Wednesday night. What do you make of, first of all, what do you think is going to happen against Bayern? And second of all, like Lee said, and I've heard a few people say it, it might be better off for United not to qualify, not even to get into the Europa, just to have the rest of the season free. And, you know, generally I'm like, I would disagree, because I think, oh, it's always good for United to be in all the competitions. I never want to see United lose, and I'm not saying that here, by the way. I still want them to win on Wednesday night and then let nature take its course with the rest of it. It is Wednesday night, isn't it? Is it Wednesday when they play? I think so.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Either way, I still want them to win, but I can see the point, and I do somewhat agree with it, that in the short term, even qualifying for the Champions League this season isn't necessary for what the trajectory that we've got going on. It's more about getting the manager the opportunity to trim the squad and mold the squad the way that he wants it, and to build that identifiable style, which, again, we did see against Chelsea the other night. So, yeah, the two questions there, which I completely ran past after. What would you reckon we'll do against Bayern? And what do you reckon to the story of, or the theory of, it's better, it might be better that we're not in it at all?
Yeah, well, I'll do it in reverse order. So I think, just touching on the Champions League campaign this year, I think, as we've seen in certain games, I think we've done really, really well, been in total control of the game. And then an incident's happened, a bit of adversity, a red card or conceded a poor goal. And I think what's been highlighted for me more than anything in terms of at that level, especially, I mean, we've seen it in the Premier League as well at times, but especially at the top level in the Champions League games, what I've seen is we haven't really got any leaders on the pitch. We haven't got someone who can grab the game by the scruff of the neck, who can sort of say, right, if we conceded a goal here, like the perfect example for me was when Rashford got sent off against Copenhagen and we was cruising. You know, we needed to see that 10-minute period out to half-time and stay in the game 2-0 up. And instead, we didn't really change anything tactically. We didn't change anything in terms of the formation. And then we ended up conceding some sloppy goals and the game completely changed. The crowd got up and it was a completely different game. At this moment in time, for me, because we haven't got them leaders and people on the pitch, you can, you know, scream at lads and say, listen, we're sitting in for 10 minutes here. Make sure you don't go over the halfway line. We're keeping it at 2-0. I think we've just got a real lack of experience and leadership and sort of people who know how to manage a game. So I think that's cost us in quite a few games. Obviously, we've seen individual errors, the goalkeeper and some, you know, decisions that, you know, you might think we've been a bit unlucky with, which you all get that. So that's just my takeaway, really, from the Champions League campaign up to now. I think we've played really well. We've been flying in some games, but then just not had that sort of, you know, man management within the game. Obviously, your manager can take a bit of, you know, stick from that maybe as well, but the players inevitably are the ones on the pitch who have got to, you know, deal with that and manage it on the pitch. I think the Bayern Munich game for me, obviously they're going to rest players. I think, you know, they're already qualified, so they're going to play a maybe weakened team. However, you know, when you say a weakened team, you look at their squad, you look at the players they've got available. You know, they could probably rotate 7 or 8 players and still have a really, really good side that's going to give, you know, any team in world football a problem. So it's definitely going to be a tough game. I think, you know, we just got to go in with the attitude that, you know, it's our last shot at staying in the Champions League. You've got to work your socks off, because that's, you know, Bayern Munich. If you don't work hard, that's, you know, you may as well not bother turning up, because the quality that they've got, although, you know, sometimes they do have a little dip in form, they always work the socks off. The manager's got that drilled into them. They all know the roles. They all know the positions. They're a well-oiled machine. And if we're not even going to put a shift in and work hard, then, you know, even the B team would sort of give us a good hiding. So for me, it's just an opportunity to go out there, express yourself, give it one last crack. If we can win the game, brilliant, and qualify, I would be more than happy with that. Although I do think, you know, if we do go on and qualify, we're not equipped and we're not ready at this moment in time with where we are as a team, where we are as a squad, to go on into the latter stages and sort of challenge. So it wouldn't be the worst thing for me if we did end up going in the Europa League. I think we probably would have a much better chance, really, of sort of, you know, doing something in that competition and maybe trying to, you know, get to the latter stages in that. I think that's where we're at the moment. And that's not to say that, you know, I wouldn't want to qualify in the Champions League. I would. I'd love to, and, you know, see us play a big team and get through. But just being honest from what I've seen this season and where we're at as a club with some of these players and, you know, the performance levels that I'm seeing aren't at that level where I think I'd be confident really going into that and sort of, you know, seeing us progress. So, yeah, I hope we do progress really. But as I say, either way, you know, you want to just keep that momentum going. And I think the Europa League probably would be a better route for us to maybe get another crack at some silver.
Yeah. Although I will say, having looked at some of the teams in the Europa League, Liverpool were in that, aren't they? Do you know, and still, I don't think we're as strong as Liverpool at the moment. Lee, we'll talk about Liverpool, actually. The way that I envisage this, you know, like, perfect scenario is that we win against Bayern and we go through. That's what we all want to see. But, you know, the reasonable expectation is United are favourites to win against Bournemouth, right? So win against Chelsea, win against Bournemouth, a lot of that confidence comes back. Obviously, it depends. Like, don't take the win against Bournemouth for granted. I'm not doing that here. But the nature of the way that we win against Bournemouth has got to be important, as it was against Chelsea. So you've got to see a good performance against Bournemouth and the win. Then, let's say, being realistic, you get a good result against Bayern, right? Where the performance is good, the tails are up, they draw, or they even win, but they don't go through because there's a win in the other game. So United are out. And then there'll be pressure either way. They could even lose. Regardless, like, United, the expectation that, and I saw it somewhere, it's either 12% or 21% the probability that United have of going through. Either way, it's quite remote. It's very slim. The chances are. So let's take it as read, even optimistic speaking. They'll win against Bournemouth, but they'll, you know, odds are they'll be eliminated from the Champions League. And the pressure will be on Ten Hag then, because everyone will be talking about being eliminated from the Champions League. And then we go into the game against Liverpool. If we see an upturn in performances, like we did against Chelsea, like we see something against Bournemouth and we see something against Bayern, I mean, I'm inclined anyway to back the manager. I am, even if the performances aren't good, I'm still going to back the manager because I see the bigger picture. But in terms of the trend, and, you know, like, obviously you want to see that kind of run of consistency and the momentum going. If it slips away and you don't see that, the pressure's even greater. You know where I'm going with this, because we go against Liverpool and the last two results that we've had there are 7-0 and 4-0. I look at the landscape and mounting criticism on Ten Hag if we're eliminated from the Champions League, the way that it's been over the last few weeks and months, and they're ready to write him off. And Liverpool are in a good run of form at the moment. They are looking like they're purring a little bit, and they could easily turn it on against us, and we could easily be vulnerable enough to concede a few goals. I don't want to be asking you, Lee, really. It's a bad question to ask you that, do you expect we're going to lose by three or more goals? The point is, the longer point I'm making is, do you think that if we do, Ten Hag is positioned safe enough to sort of survive that kind of beating?
Good question, mate. For me, it all depends on the run-up before the Liverpool game, as you've just kind of explained there. If we struggle against Bournemouth at the weekend, if we struggle against Bayern Munich, and then we get a good hiding, regardless, I don't think, you know, I don't think the club will persevere if that happens. I think if we carry on playing like we did against Chelsea, against Bournemouth, with that work ethic, and we get a result, and we get a draw or maybe a win against Bayern and don't qualify, and then go away at Liverpool. Bear in mind, Liverpool, let's be honest, we've got to be honest with each other here. Liverpool are a better side than us at the moment. You know, they're a better squad. They've got better players, more technically gifted players, and they look more of a rounded team than us. So, personally, on a personal point of view, I'm not overly confident that we're going to, you know, it's away at Liverpool too, isn't it? So I'm not massively confident at getting any kind of result. But I believe if we get a good run up towards Liverpool and we can put in performances and build a bit of confidence, I'm hoping that we don't get a hiding, if I'm being honest. And as long as I think if we can stay competitive in the game, you know, and show that, again, like I said earlier, keep the fans on side with the work ethic and doing what we're supposed to do and keeping the fundamentals right. I think Ten Hag's kind of safe. Personally, I wouldn't get rid of Ten Hag anyway. I don't think a lot of what's gone on this season is anything to do with him. I think he got brought in to discipline the team. It's going to be hard to discipline this current group of players that we've got. I think he's done that well, if I'm being honest. I think he's been no nonsense, as you've seen with the Sancho situation. I think he's playing players on merit now, i.e. Maguire, McTominay, and players like that. And I don't think, like I say, go back to last season, he did a great job. I don't think he's, as a manager, he's doing a bad job. And I definitely don't think it's the answer to go and get someone else with the current crop of players that we've got. I said it a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. I think everything comes from the top at the moment. I think until we get a big change at the top, nothing really on the pitch, manager-wise or players-wise or performance-wise or where we are in the league is going to change. And bringing in a new manager, it's not going to create any differential there for me. So, again, Liverpool, it all depends on for me, the two games before that. And I know we do before that. If we lose to Bournemouth, if we get an hiding off Bayern, and then we go to Liverpool and get turned over, it's not my opinion, but I've got a feeling he'll be under a lot of scrutiny, and it's a strong possibility that he could go.
See, told you, lads. Told you I'd bring the mood down. Phil, there you go. Struggle to beat Bournemouth. Struggle against Bayern. Battered against Liverpool. Ten Hag is under a lot of pressure. What do you reckon to that scenario? How likely do you reckon that is? Do you have? I'm not saying that that's possible. Oh, wait, it's possible. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's probable, by the way.
It's definitely possible. It's definitely possible from what we've seen this year. However, I do have a little bit more optimism after, you know, the performance and the team selection that he picked the other day against Chelsea. Obviously, just the basics of football, really. You know, putting a shift in, doing things at a pace, being aggressive. And I think, you know, when you play a game of football, if you do that from 1 to 11, you know, you're not going to go far wrong, regardless of, you know, quality on the pitch. You know, it's 11 men v 11 men. You win your individual battles, you work hard, you put a shift in. You know, the sort of little bit of extra, you know, is what will determine the game. I'm hopeful that we can get a result against Bournemouth, although, you know, we've got hopeful before in the season when we've had a good performance and then we've sort of fell flat on our face. But as I said, I think, you know, Bournemouth, we can get a win there. The Bayern game, you know, regardless of what happens in the Bayern game, I think that's maybe just, you know, it is what it is. If we get a result, great, and we go through, highly unlikely, but that's brilliant. If we can get a draw or whatever and we finish in the Europa League, for me, I think everybody's expecting that. So the manager won't really sort of coming under any real pressure from that game, if I'm being honest, unless we get an absolute hiding. And then, yeah, the Liverpool game is for me, as Lee said, you know, if you just want to see us be competitive in that game, especially being a local derby, you know, what it means to the fans. You just want to make sure that your team are putting in a shift, putting the effort in, not sort of shirking responsibility and not, you know, going that extra yard and putting a tackle in and just doing the basics again, what we want to see. Liverpool are a better team, so they are expected to win. So, you know, result-wise, if we lost, it's the manner that we would lose the game for me would be how the manager could maybe come under some extra pressure. If you lose the game 2-1, you put a massive shift in, you have some great opportunities, and Liverpool just have that little bit of extra quality to get the win. I think most Man United fans would probably, you know, I would never say accept it, because you always want to win, but they would understand, you know, we've given it a good go. This is where we are at the moment. Never mind, let's move on to the next game. But, you know, when we've seen these performances cropping up throughout the season, you know, Newcastle, where players are just strolling around and it's unacceptable, and you know, there's not that desire and that determination to go out there and you know, play for this shirt and, you know, do everything, and not even applauding fans at the end of games and stuff like that is you know, criminal. I sort of had a bit of a thing with that with the Newcastle game. You know, that's you know, a minimum, bare minimum requirement. You know, fans travel, spend a lot of hard-earned money to go and support the team, regardless of your performances. And, you know, that should be something that every single player is, you know, made to do at the end of the game. So, yeah, I think it's obviously a difficult week. This week's going to sort of, you know, determine a lot of things this year. And hopefully we can come out on the right side of it, and the manager sort of comes through that. Because I say, I want the manager to stay. I don't think, you know, changing the manager would necessarily improve or do anything. We've seen this, you know, a lot of times with different managers. This group of players isn't really, you know, going to change anything. And for me, as we've seen, the manager's dealt with a lot of hard situations in such a short space of time, and I think he's done the best that he could do with, you know, the way that it is this day and age, the power that some of these players have. His hands are tied with a lot of things, but I think he's managed the dressing room and sort of the discipline side of things really well.
Yeah, just before we go, just a point I want to just elaborating on that, what Phil's just said, Lee, just an interesting point. We've talked about the managers before Ten Hag, they sort of like lived and died by the performances of the players. Obviously, that's how football results are governed. But it seems like such a critical period that this decision to drop Rashford and Martial for what we perceive to be a lack of effort that we saw in the Newcastle game, we don't know for sure. He brought on Rashford. Martial warmed up, but he wasn't in the squad. But if you play those players and you get those kind of performances, like now, you blame Ten Hag equally, like you blame the players for the Newcastle game, because he should be aware of those players. So he definitely is now, because we've seen the response, right? So if he plays those players against Liverpool and gets the same result, and really, same result, if you're carrying two passengers, is losing four goals easily. That's where the thing comes, isn't it, really, where the finger starts to get pointed at the manager, if he's not learning the lessons with that. So, Lee, I mean, with that in mind, the point is, does he sort of drop Rashford and Martial out of this next run of four or five games completely to sort of say, well, I mean, might bring on Rashford against Bayern and against Bournemouth, but when the stakes are so high, he's kind of got to not play them, if you understand. I don't like saying that, but you know where I'm coming from with that. Can he afford to play them at Anfield, knowing that his job could well be on the line?
Like I said earlier, Wayne, going back to the Bournemouth game, you've got to play the same players as what played against Chelsea. You've got to play players what are in form. It's up to now. It's now up to, forget about Martial. I don't even want to talk about Martial, if I'm being honest. He wouldn't get on my bench, if I'm being honest. Rashford on the other hand, it's up to Rashford now to play. We all know Rashford when he's on form. Look at him last season, was it 30 plus goals last season? He's not a bad player. You don't turn into a bad player overnight. I think Rashford's problem a lot of the time is confidence. And I think when his confidence goes down, he looks for excuses. Instead of running hard and trying to get himself back in form and back in the team. That's an attitude thing too. So I wouldn't dismiss Rashford, but I would definitely agree with what Ten Hag's done and benched him. I benched him for the Bournemouth game. It's up to Garnaccio now to keep his place in the side, keep doing what he's doing. And it's up to Rashford to, when he gets maybe his 10, 15, 20 minutes at the end, to make a case and show the manager that he's ready to turn his attitude around on the pitch and off the pitch. And if he can. And it's great to have great competition, you know. It's a good thing that we've got that squad depth now, that we've got the competition. But for me, definitely dropping for the Bournemouth game, see how the lads do and go off performances. All you can do is go off performances week in, week out. And are you doing on the pitch when you're playing? Are you doing in training? Are the attitudes in training? And take it from there. But the only other thing I was thinking of too, which I was going to bring up before the podcast ended, is if you remember back to the Sir Alex Ferguson days, he used to change formations a lot of the time, going back to who we played against or personnel against who we played against. Would it be, obviously, would it be a good to think about going even against Liverpool, maybe knocking a 3-5-2 out and going, you know, with a back three and playing more defensive plays? If and I'm not saying this is what I would do, I'm just thinking out loud. So say, for example, if we beat Bournemouth playing with the same players we've got in the same formation, the same tactics, and then we go to Bayern and play the same way and get a result, or, you know, look like we're getting somewhere with it, do we then go to Anfield and play that same way, or do we look at it as, let's try and get a result and let's go back to being a more defensive, more compact system? I'm on the fence with that a little bit. I was going to see what you guys thought about that, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, my thoughts are that you would, well, I don't care as long as you get the result. I'm not bothered about the fluency of the, because I don't think we've got any until we get the full complement of players back. So until we do that, then I'm not bothered what we do as long as we get the results. I do want to see a consistent run of performances, don't get me wrong. And you know, obviously consistent selection and formation contributes to that. But in terms of getting a result at Anfield, considering we've lost a few on the bounce there, maybe four or five on the bounce. It's been a long time since we got a result there. But like Phil said earlier, you know, expecting to lose is one thing. Expecting to lose heavily is another. So as long as we go there and put in a better performance than what we have done, then to answer your point, I'm open with the formation, as long as it's a clever formation that does the job of getting a result. Phil, what do you make of that?
I definitely think, you know, going away at Anfield with where we are at the moment, he probably will be looking at going a little bit more defensive, just purely based on, obviously, their attacking players, obviously, the previous results that we've had, and he obviously will, you know that this is the game really of the season that is sort of widely scrutinised, and, you know, especially after the last couple of results where we've sort of conceded a lot of goals, and, you know, we've definitely been carrying players in them particular games. I can remember, he will want to go with players who he can trust, he can rely on, and what I mean by that is, you know, maybe players who aren't technically as good, but he knows will put a shift in, will, you know, work hard for the team, will track back. You know, we'll put a shift in and make a tackle when needs to. So, yeah, I definitely think he sort of will have that in the back of his mind. I agree with Lee. I think you've got to definitely stick with the team against Chelsea for tomorrow, against Bournemouth. You get through that result, you roll into midweek in the Champions League. You can maybe afford to maybe make a couple of changes with the Liverpool game in mind, knowing, obviously, the sort of buying game is going to be, obviously, you want to win, but, you know, it's not sort of, you know, in our hands. So you could maybe sort of look at the Liverpool game with that in mind. And then, you know, that's the big game, really, of this next sort of, you know, week. The Liverpool game next week is sort of where a lot of fans will be, you know, looking for a reaction, looking for a performance, looking for, you know, us to maybe use that as a catalyst to sort of kick on for the second part of the season. I think if you get a result there, even if it's a draw, you know, you come away after a good performance, you've battled and you've worked hard and you've got a point away at Anfield, you know, that can sort of give, especially some of these younger players, you know, some of the younger lads now coming into these big games, you know, playing in the Champions League and some of these big Premier League games, you know, like your Manus. If you can get some, you know, good results away and experience, invaluable experience into some of these younger players, you can use that as a catalyst then to kick on and sort of, you know, have that little bit of momentum to sort of really push on after Christmas once you get some of these, you know, big names back that we're obviously missing, your Martinez's and, you know, possibly Casemiro if he's coming back into the fold. So, yeah, I think it's a big week for the club, but I'm, you know, quietly optimistic. I think you know the game against Chelsea has definitely shown that we can mix it and do the basics well. We just now need to do that on a regular basis, and I think this has been the biggest concern and the biggest worry and stumbling block that we've seen, especially you know over the course of the last few years in terms of doing it on a regular basis. It's all right doing it against Chelsea. It's now when you play Bournemouth at home, or you know you go away to Brentford, or you know all you've got to do it every single week. That is the sort of benchmark. Every single week, 100% effort. You can live with bad performances and you know not having a, you know, not scoring a chance or you know missing a penalty, whatever. If you put a shift in, the fans will never criticise you.
Well, definitely hoping to see that over the next 10 days or so, a massive 10 days for United. And I, again, not to be too negative, but my brain is just bringing me back to the last days under Mourinho, where I think we beat Swansea 4-1, and at some point we beat Juventus away. We scored in the last minute, and then we went to Anfield and got Tonked, and you've got Pogba and Lukaku were on the bench, weren't they? And the big symbol of Mourinho's failure. And then he got sacked the morning or 48 hours after that defeat. He was out. And I worry. Because like you both said, I'm fully on board with Ten Hag, and hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully he gets, well, next time that Phil, Lee and I are here, we're talking about three wins from those games against Bournemouth, Bayern and Liverpool. It's definitely going to be a big 10 days for United. If you've enjoyed the podcast, if you could give us a like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube and you haven't done that already. And if you've listened back on the audio podcast, even if you're watching on YouTube and you like watching us, if you can pop over to the audio podcast, like iTunes or something. It's not called that anymore, is it? Apple Podcasts. I'm still calling things Twitter and stuff like that, all the old platforms. If you could go over to there and give us a review on there and a rating, we'd really appreciate that. And we will be back. Hopefully, I'll be able to pull the guys out of Christmas preparations a few days before Christmas to come back on the pod in a couple of weeks' time. And we'll be back. I'll be back on Monday with Paul. Until then, guys, stay safe, stay well, and thanks for listening and watching.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.